Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. And now for a project that sounds more like something from a Pixar movie than the next big thing in space exploration, the High Altitude Lensing Observatory, or HALO. It could be the Hubble telescope's successor in deep space imaging, but instead of orbiting the Earth from a satellite in space, scientists are hoping to hang this giant telescope from a great big balloon. And one of the scientists working on the project is Dr. Richard Massey. He's an astronomer at the Royal Observatory in Edinburgh, Scotland. And Dr. Massey, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi there.
Give us the specs on HALO. How will or would this setup look like?
So it's going to hang, as you say, from a very large balloon that will be very high up in the atmosphere. So it's going to be several times higher than a jumbo jet and about 100,000 feet. So really, really high up. And because the air there is so very thin, the balloon, which is about the size of a big car at ground level, expands. It gets absolutely enormous, about the size of a football stadium. So we've got this enormous balloon floating up very high, and what we want to do is hang a rope down from that and put a telescope on the bottom of it.
Wow, it sounds very precarious, doesn't it? You know, just a balloon swimming around by the whims of the currents. How do you control such a thing?
Well, we don't. We sort of get back to nature and we go where the winds take us. The winds do move around the Earth and we sort of go with them. We don't actually have any control over exactly where it goes, except for the fact that we launch it at a particular time of year when we, roughly speaking, know what the winds are doing. However, you've put your finger on the crux of the problem, the technical difficulty, which is it is actually quite precarious. Although we don't have any control over where it's going, we want to know exactly what it's looking at, and we want to be able to keep it very steady while we look at the night sky.
Well, why not just send another telescope up into space on a satellite?
That's been done lots of times. It's worked very successfully, and you get fantastic images. You get crystal clear images when you get above the Earth's swirling, turbulent atmosphere. The problem is, it costs an awful lot of money to get into space, and it takes a long time because once you're there, it has to work. You have to design a spacecraft such that it just won't break. The nice thing about a balloon is that you can strap one together fairly quickly, send it up, and, you know, of course we design it to work, but if the worst thing happened and it didn't quite work, well, you know, we can bring it down, strap it together again, put a bit of gaffer tape on it, and send it back up again.
What are the sort of relative cost differentials?
So it typically costs about $1 billion or more to send a satellite into orbit. It costs maybe 1% of that to put a balloon up and takes a few years as opposed to a few decades.
How long can it stay up there?
Well, actually, that's what makes it interesting. Until a few years ago, a balloon would go up and stay there for a few days, maybe a week if you were lucky, and then come back down again. But then a few years ago, NASA came up with this fantastic new balloons, which are basically possible because of the fancy materials they're made out of, the stretchy Lycra type stuff. And they go up and they stay there for many months at a time. So once you've put all the effort into building a telescope and a camera underneath it, it really does stay there for months at a time, and you can actually do something really quite extensive. You can do really big experiments. You can take images of most of the sky.
Can you control where it lands or how it gets down?
So it comes down by parachute. We can control when it comes down. And in fact, if it does drift a long way, of course, if it looks like it's going to head to a large city, then for safety reasons, you can sort of press the big red button and it comes down on a parachute at any time.
We're speaking with Dr. Richard Massey, an astronomer at the Royal Observatory in Edinburgh, and we're talking about a project that he's been working on called HALO, and it's basically attaching a telescope that can view deep space to a balloon that would actually be floating through the atmosphere far, far above the Earth and would cost just a fraction of telescopes mounted on satellites. The image is so much more, I guess, sort of Jules Verne's than Jet Set. Now, what will it actually be doing up there?
Yeah, it's kind of romantic, isn't it? I really do love the idea of going ballooning. It's very much a hands-on sort of world in which people, because everything's done on a bit of a lower budget than building satellites, it's really a sort of a, let's go ballooning and fly this. It's great fun. But what's it going to be doing is that it's going to hover around above 99% of the Earth's atmosphere, and it's going to look not directly up because the balloon's in the way, but just a little bit to one side so it can peer around the balloon. And we're going to be studying some of the most distant galaxies in the universe with it. My own particular interest is to map out the universe's dark matter. That's this really strange material that's out there. In fact, it's the most common material in the universe. But it's very different from the stuff around us, everything that we sort of can touch or breathe. All of that's made out of elements on the periodic table. Now, this dark matter is just something else, something extra, that we don't know what it is, and it's completely invisible, it turns out, which makes life a bit difficult, but we're nonetheless trying to map out and discover what it is.
Hmm. So, all right, you've described that you're looking for this dark matter, but being invisible, if you get one map of it, will that map just shift?
Well, yes, it's invisible, so that makes life a bit difficult in trying to
to map it.
The way that we do it is by looking not sort of directly at it, but at the things that it affects that it can see. So it might be invisible, light passes straight through it, but it still has gravity, it's heavy stuff. So it pulls things towards it, and it affects stars and galaxies through its gravity that we can see. So the trick is to look at very distant galaxies, see what they're doing, and see what they look like. And by the way that they behave, we can work out where this invisible dark matter is.
What can it actually tell us, this mapping of the dark matter?
Well, it's fascinating. It's dark matter stuff. Like I say, it's the most common material in the universe. For all the elements on the periodic table, for all the matter around us, everything that we can touch and see, there's six times as much material out there in the form of this dark matter. So by a long way, the most common material in the universe. And if we want to actually make a representative map of the universe or understand what the universe is made of, if we don't look at the dark matter, we're only looking at the tip of an iceberg. It's like sort of coming up to a new frontier. What do you do when you first encounter the Wild West? Well, the first thing that you do is take a look at the lie of the land and map it out. We're then going to go and look around in detail at it and explore it and maybe figure out what causes the land to look like that and in detail what this dark matter is made of.
Mm, fascinating stuff. The image of that balloon floating remains with me. I really hope it comes to pass. How likely is it?
So we've got all of the funding and we've got actually parts that we're putting together at the moment for a technical demonstration, which is going to fly next year and then the year after that. So what that's going to be is a relatively small camera on one of these balloons. You mentioned that there's this precarious sort of situation, 100,000 feet up. The big problem is that your telescope is slung on a rope underneath this balloon. It's swinging around in the wind. It's wobbling backwards and forwards. And we have to have a clever system of engineering to notice, by gyroscopes, for example, exactly how the telescope is swinging around, and then shift the telescope in the opposite direction constantly so that it's always pointing at the same patch of sky. And what we're developing at the moment is all the components necessary to fly this technical demonstration, just to sort of fine-tune our hardware and all the software to control the balloon swinging.
Well, that's why you're an astronomer and I'm a radio host.
Hey, it's not rocket science.
It's balloon science. Dr. Richard Massey, an astronomer at the Royal Observatory in Edinburgh, Scotland. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks. It's been a pleasure.
He's just one of the scientists working on HALO. This is the High Altitude Lensing Observatory. Now, we have a link to more on it, including some images of what it might look like, which is just fascinating, at wordofmouthradio.org.